This week on Vaticano, discover the preparations for the upcoming International Eucharistic Congress in Quito, Ecuador, along with insights into the Pontifical Committee responsible for its organization. Further, we delve into Cardinal Kurt Koch's unwavering dedication to fostering unity among Christians. And we reveal 10 never-before-seen photographs of St. Padre Pio that are being released to the world for the first time. For this and more, Vaticano starts now.
Well, Rome being the eternal city, it's the city of martyrs, it's the city of the Pope. And so for so many Catholics, it's a dream in a way to celebrate beside the Holy Father, to see him actually presiding over the masses, and it's a very moving experience.
Thousands of pilgrims came to Rome during Holy Week to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Easter Triduum is the apex of the Catholic liturgical year, and it starts with Holy Thursday.
Benedice quest'olio, nel quale
Pope Francis presided over a chrism mass in St. Peter's Basilica in the presence of nearly 2,000 priests, bishops, and cardinals. In his homily, the Holy Father encouraged the priests to turn their gaze upon the crucified Lord and embrace compunction, a piercing of the heart that evokes healing tears of repentance.
It is a beneficial piercing that purifies and heals the heart. Once we recognize our sin, our hearts can be opened to the working of the Holy Spirit, the source of living water that wells up within us and brings tears to our eyes.
Maintaining a custom he has practiced since the beginning of his papacy, Pope Francis celebrated the Mass of the Lord's Supper at the Rebibbia Women's Prison in Rome on Holy Thursday, washing the feet of 12 female inmates.
For me, Good Friday is particularly evocative because you have this moment where the Holy Father walks into the Basilica in silence. And then, of course, you have the chanting of the Passion. But one moment that I think is particularly powerful is when the cardinals go up to venerate the crucifix and they're singing the Improperia, the Good Friday reproaches. And that's the moment where God, Christ on the cross, is reproaching his people for the injustice of the crucifixion.
On Good Friday afternoon, the Holy Father presided over the liturgy of the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ in St. Peter's Basilica. After the proclamation of the Passion, the homily was delivered by the preacher of the pontifical household, Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa.
I was a bit surprised that the Holy Father did not attend the Via Crucis, having been in St. Peter's for the Good Friday liturgy. He seemed to be in good spirits and to be in good form. Obviously, he has been battling some health issues over the past couple months with a chronic pulmonary inflammation. But at the same time, it is a very intensive 3 days. And so I could understand why the Holy See Press Office would have wanted to take an abundance of caution, especially as he was preparing for the Easter Vigil and for Easter Sunday.
Even without the presence of the Pope at the Via Crucis, the Stations of the Cross, 25,000 people came to take part in the prayers in front of an impressive background. On Saturday night, the Holy Father presided over the traditional Easter Vigil Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, drawing from the Gospel narrative of the women at the empty tomb. Pope Francis reminded the faithful that by saying yes to Christ, no stone will block the way to our hearts.
This is the Pasch of Christ, the revelation of God's power, the victory of life over death, the triumph of light over darkness, the rebirth of hope amid the ruins of failure.
On Easter Sunday morning, Pope Francis celebrated Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square in the presence of approximately 30,000 people.
We saw from Good Friday as well as Holy Saturday the Pope talking about this notion that Christ's resurrection is ultimately not one of defeat, but of triumph. And so what he was trying to underscore was that we can't give way to anguish, we can't give way to despondency, but ultimately true life, a new life, comes through Christ.
Concluding this year's program of Easter celebrations, the Pope then gave the traditional Urbi et Orbi blessing, praying especially for the victims of the many conflicts worldwide, as well as those of abortion and human trafficking.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. During Holy Week, Pope Francis issued a letter to the Christians of the Holy Land expressing his solidarity with a community that continues to suffer amid the ongoing violence. Emphasizing his paternal affection, the Pope joined the faithful in sharing in their sufferings and struggles. Francis wrote that he embraces those who are most affected by the tragedy of war, which are, of course, the children robbed of their future and those who grieve and are in pain. The Holy See's permanent observer at the United Nations in New York asked the UN General Assembly to do more to combat crimes against humanity. Archbishop Caccia emphasized the essential role of human dignity, the foundation of all human rights, in addressing crimes against humanity. On the fifth anniversary of the apostolic exhortation Christus Vivit, Pope Francis invites young people to make their voices heard as they bear witness before everyone to the joy born of friendship with Christ. In his message, the Holy Father invites young people to walk with Jesus as a friend and to share all the joys and hopes as well as the problems and struggles with him. The apostolic exhortation Christus Vivit was written by Pope Francis 5 years ago in the wake of the 2018 Synod on Young People, Faith and Vocational Discernment. For the month of April, Pope Francis invites everyone to pray for the role of women. The pontiff says in his video message, "In theory, we all agree that men and women have the same dignity as persons, but this does not play out in practice. Therefore, the Holy Father wants the faithful to pray that women are valued in every culture. He asks for an end to the discrimination they face in various parts of the world." Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Thonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano.
Is a wondrous event in which Jesus Christ, our life, makes himself present.
Lumen Gentium, one of the principal documents of the Second Vatican Council, along with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, unequivocally states that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. All other sacraments are oriented towards it. In Rome, there's a Vatican office that exists specifically to promote the Eucharist by organizing congresses worldwide. Father Corrado Maggioni, its president, explains to us why.
I congressi eucaristici internazionali hanno un ritmo di 4 anni.
The International Eucharistic Congresses have a rhythm of every 4 years. There is this convening of many churches from all over the world in one single church to jointly experience the celebration of the Eucharistic mystery and to reflect on the meaning that the Eucharist has for the people of God. Not only for the people of God in the host country, but for all churches.
Founded in 1879 by Pope Leo XIII, the Pontifical Committee for International Eucharistic Congresses aims to deepen the global appreciation and devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ in his Eucharistic mystery. Father Corrado highlights the Congress's foundational goal, transcending national boundaries to unite believers worldwide in communion with Christ.
L'Eucaristia è un evento.
The Eucharist builds the Church, forms the Church, grows the church, and the church is a people of brothers in Christ with Christ for Christ. So, the theme of fraternity is fraternity as a path, vocation, to heal the wounds of the world. What Christ has done, he has done to heal humanity. The divisions of humanity first with God, but also man with man.
Le divisioni dell'umanità, anzitutto con Dio, ma anche l'uomo con l'uomo.
Set under the theme, Fraternity to Heal the World, You Are All Brothers, the International Eucharistic Congress will take place this year in Quito, Ecuador, from September the 8th to the 15th. Father Livingston Olivares from Quito, who is actively involved in the event's promotion, emphasizes the Congress as a pivotal opportunity for faith revival in the country amidst Latin America's complex political climate.
It's necessary to understand the importance of the Eucharist because it is the Lord who waits for us. He tells us in His Word, "Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." It has been a time of fatigue for all of the social, political, and economic unrest, the natural disasters. But there is Jesus, the Eucharist, that remains. Where there is a priest, the Eucharist is there. So I'd like to invite all of our brothers and sisters who follow us by the way of the communications media of this prestigious channel as well, that they might come close to the Eucharist where we can encounter God in prayer.
Looking ahead to September, we can draw insights from the last Eucharistic Congress held in 2021 in Budapest. EWTN reported on the ground, witnessing the atmosphere of reconciliation, joy, and peace surrounding the sacrament of the Eucharist. The International Eucharistic Congress offered the faithful an opportunity to hear from global church leaders as they unveiled the profound beauty and mystery of the Eucharist.
I must say, even Cardinal Onayeko does not understand how the bread in my hand becomes the blood body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe it.
Yes.
That's the point. I believe it, and the belief I have is a gift of God.
This summer, the 10th National Eucharistic Congress will be held in Indianapolis, in the United States, from July the 17th to the 21st. It will be the first National Eucharistic Congress held in the United States in 83 years. The Holy Father met the organizers of the National Eucharistic Congress last summer and encouraged them to continue their efforts to contribute to a revival of faith in and love for the Holy Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian life. Throughout his papacy, the Holy Father has continually reminded the faithful of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
Ma pensi, quando tu vai a messa, lì c'è il Signore. E tu...
When you go to Mass, the Lord is there. You may get distracted, but it is the Lord. We have to remind ourselves, Father, it's that the Masses are dull. But what are you saying? That the Lord is dull? No, no. Not the Mass, the priests. May the priests cover, but it is the Lord who is there. Do you understand? Do not forget it. Participating in Mass is living again the redemptive passion and death of our Lord.
The biggest challenge is that so many Christians no longer seek the unity. Instead, many are resigned to the fact that we have a multitude of churches and church communities.
The unity of the church is still exposed to numerous dangers today. Time and time again, difficulties also arise in dialogue within the Christian community. Not only the war between Russia and Ukraine is currently straining the relationship between the Catholic Church and the Russian Orthodox Church, but the dialogue with Coptic Christians has also become more difficult since representatives of the Coptic Orthodox Church announced in March that they have decided to suspend the theological dialogue with the Catholic Church. This decision goes back to the publication of Fiducia Supplicans, a document in which the Vatican states that, under certain conditions, couples in same-sex and irregular relationships may also be blessed. A lot of work to do now for the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, but Father Hyacinthe Destivelle, who works for the Dicastery, is hopeful.
I am myself personally convinced that the dialogue with the Coptic Church, which is thus a part of this multilateral, bilateral commission, will continue, and I am convinced that we will continue on this path, even if from time to time we need to take breaks. But we are in the Easter period, and I really like the expression, Felix culpa, in the Easter exustet. Sometimes it takes a Felix culpa for us to be able to move forward.
The head of the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity is Cardinal Kurt Koch. Koch has been the Vatican's ecumenical minister for 14 years. To honor the Cardinal's decades of service, the Roman Institute of the Gure Society organized a three-day symposium in Rome on unity and uniqueness, in cooperation with the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas and the Pontifical Gregorian University.
In Germany, but also gradually in many other parts of the world, we are currently experiencing a strong polarization between two directions of how we should live as Christians. Some believe that the Church must be freed from its captivity to a worldview of the past by adapting to the mainstream of so-called modernity. And the others believe, and I'm one of them, that we can only get out of the mess by returning to the gospel and contributing to the unity of the Church.
5 years ago, Cardinal Koch said in an interview that divisions within the Church must be avoided.
The Catholic way is to remain under one roof, under the roof of the papacy, the universal Church. That is also the reason why there are so many tensions, so many conflicts in the Catholic Church. It is easier to split off and found a new church. I think the Catholic way is the better way, and I hope that the Catholic Church will remain on this Catholic path within the Universal Church as a whole. In my opinion, the other way has no future.
Even today, Cardinal Koch continues to look to the future of ecumenism with hope, but soberly and rationally. Incidentally, Cardinal Koch's bishop's motto is borrowed from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians and reads, Ut sit in omnibus Christus primatum tenens, that Christ be before everything. This motto not only summarizes the work of the Vatican's ecumenical minister to date, but also sets the course for the future. We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. These are newly released photographs of Saint Padre Pio. The incredible images show the Italian friar celebrating Mass and deep in prayer, but also in lighter moments of laughter, rarely captured of the saint. Ten never-before-seen pictures of the saint are being released by the St. Pio Foundation, under the direction of Luciano La Monarca, who discovered them when visiting the photographer Elias De Luto's studio.
There was the authenticity and the quality of some of the picture I never see. When I was in his studio, I was amazed. How can you bring this to the world?
These 10 pictures are being released to the world to celebrate 10 years of the St. Pio Foundation.
Tell me about these images. How do we see St. Padre Pio in a new light like we haven't before?
Well, one of the pictures I was always amazed when I saw, it was when Padre Pio held baby Jesus during Christmas. The light, so this was picture taken without flash. The light that came just beyond the statues was amazing. Then we have Padre Pio celebrating Mass in completely new light. One is nice because everybody showed, hey, Padre Pio is smiling. Yes, he was smiling because he was a man. So we always think that Padre Pio was the serious man, since we know that faith is also about laughing and have a nice laugh sometimes. And the way he looks at you, but he doesn't look at you. Like Padre Pio didn't want to shine. That's why he didn't want to be taken picture of. He needed to give hope, healing. He needed to perform miracles eventually, many, many times.
The man who took these photographs is Elias de Luto. He was only around 16 when he started photographing Padre Pio, and today he's 89 and living in San Giovanni Rotondo.
When was the first time you looked through a camera lens at Padre Pio?
Ho comprato questa, una macchina fotografica di due soldi, non era macchina.
Well, I had bought a very cheap camera, and no one ever entered the monastery to take pictures. It was impossible. But I went in one day with my camera, and there was Padre Pio on the terrace. And he asked me, "What are you doing with that box?" And I replied, "This is a camera that takes photos." He said, "What do you know about it?" And I said, "Let's do something, pose, and I'll take some photos of you."
Lo metto, lo faccio posare, metto lì e lo provo a fare. Dico, cominciamo a fare le prime fotografie con te.
Why do you think Padre Pio chose you to be his photographer, even though it wasn't a formal official arrangement? But what did he see in you?
Sì, me lo sono chiesto tante volte io.
Well, I've often asked myself that too. Why he got angry with others, even with his brother priests, if they took photos of him, but not with me. Perhaps he saw something in me from when I was a child. I had an extraordinary attraction to Padre Pio. I spent a lot of time with him, and inside I felt this sensation of wanting to always take new and more beautiful photos of him. I really do feel lucky, and I still don't fully understand why Padre Pio gave me this gift. Being close to him was like being in paradise.
Growing up in Italy, Luciano was always aware of the giant figure that Padre Pio was in the Catholic Church, but didn't have a particular devotion to him until he and his wife faced a very difficult moment in their life.
A moment that brought us sorrow in my mind and my wife's life, the bad news that we could not be parents anymore.
His wife had a stillborn child, and they were told by doctors that she would most likely never be able to give birth in the future. It was devastating news for the couple, and it was in that moment that Luciano started to pray for Padre Pio's intercession, and in the process, to learn more about the saint's life.
What was it about Padre Pio that you felt drawn to at that moment?
As I was discussing with other people, I was learning some things of him that it never appealed to me, actually, who really Padre Pio was, in his simplicity and humility. He was the grandfather I never had.
An opera singer by profession, Luciano has always put passion in everything he does and felt such a connection to St. Padre Pio that he wanted to help bring his story and message to as many people as he could, especially in the United States. So with that, he started the St. Pio Foundation. And for the past few years, they've toured relics of Padre Pio across the United States and raised awareness to the saint.
How can we bring a true St. Pio to the life of those whose life can be changed? I am a different man now than I was 15 years ago. It's because he changed me.
And today, Luciano and his wife live in the U.S. with their son Sebastian, who she gave birth to the year after he founded the St. Pio Foundation. As an Italian living in the United States, he's passionate about strengthening the ties between the two countries in the name of St. Pio, and in 2021 established the first square dedicated to the people of the United States of America in Pietrelcina, the town where Padre Pio was born, and installed the original cast of the statue, I Embrace You, by sculptor Timothy Schmaltz.
Surrounding the world, the map of the United States of America in sign of protection.
I founded the St. Pio Foundation with the goal to bring Padre Pio to a different level that has been brought before.